just worship him.
I see this church rising up in influence. I see this church rising up in might. I see this church rising up in wisdom and revelation. Oh, I see this church as a jewel set in the ring of this city. Oh, and I see the people in this church. Oh, businesses, businesses, businesses. Oh, an influence in their families, influence in their communities. Oh, I can't tell you everything that I see, but I see a church of great influence. I see a church, standing watch over their city. I see a church as an anchor in this end time. I see a church as a safe harbor for all those who would seek God. And I see those that buy groceries, just being led of the Spirit, not knowing that an entire family's salvation hangs on their giving. And I see those reaching out across the aisle at work, be healed in Jesus' name, not knowing the rescue that came. Yes, the physical healing. Oh, but the anointing to rescue, to save, to change, to turn around. Oh. And I see those, Dashti, Mansi, conducting business. And the integrity of their witness. Changing every person they come in contact with. Oh, I see righteousness restored. I see corruption uncovered. Deshti, Magatsi, I see a city changed because a church got on its knees. Yeshta Maste, Maste, Ya Derishti, Dande, Ya Tekerishti, Manse, as we get in our prayer closet, Dashti, as we give to the work of God, as we assist our pastors in their ministry outside this church. Yes, Jamanse. Oh, Bashti. Dandini. 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 Aha. Derishti. And the nation marvels to say, what city is that? Why is it that way? What's going on there? It's a move of God. It's a move of God. It's a move of God to defy the wisdom of man. Because the end time move of God happens in out of the way places. Places like Cedar Rapids, Iowa. For there were grain mills here, says the Lord. But now, I am rising up silos of living bread. I am raising up a feeding place. Yeah. You don't know how important you are. You do not know how important you are. You do not know how important. No, I didn't say pastor. I can feel that. Well, pastors are important. No. You do not know how important you are. You. And you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, you are important. You are critical. You are strategic. Well, I know there's all those. No, stop that. Stop that. Hear what God's saying. You're important. You're important. You're critical to the plan of God. You're needed. You're needed. Stop fighting that. Well, I, it's humble to say, yes, God said I'm needed, so I am. That's humble. Because you didn't say it yourself. You said, God said I was needed, so I am. Well, it's just little. No. There is nothing little about you. Not one thing. You're 1,000 times bigger on the inside. Praise God. Praise God. You're important. You know that they have storage facilities for food in times of famine. It's not something we deal with here because we're a prosperous country. But in other countries, they do. They have storage places. And in times of famine, they open those up so that people can survive. Do you know that that's what God's doing here? One of the many, many things. Do you remember a pastor saying there's a time coming in the body of Christ when the message of faith will be as a new message? He's raising up a place so that when there's a famine, he can open up the door and the people can be fed. Oh, I don't think you understand. I don't think you understand. You're important. What God's doing here is important, and you're a part of it. Oh my. Oh my. Praise God. You can be seated. What about pastor's other church? It's important too. Did you know, just something to consider here. Did you know without the city of London, they could have never had D-Day? You know the invasion of Normandy in World War II? Do you remember high school history? Do you know if they didn't have the city of London, they could have never launched that invasion? They had to have a place, a gathering place. They had to have a place of logistical support. Well, what, you think all them people just showed up on them ships one day? Poof, we did it. No. They got them there. They gathered them all up in a big city because that was the only place big enough to hold them. They gathered them all up. They organized them. Then they started sending them out. This unit to this ship, this unit to this ship, this unit here, that unit there, you go there. All according to a master plan. Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
Without this church, there's a whole lot that doesn't happen. Without this church, there's a whole lot that doesn't happen. Because it's the gathering place. It's the base. It's the gathering place. things launch out from here. You're important. You're important. Strategically important. Critically important. I don't think you half believe it. But you should. You should. The time is short. The work is great. Yeah, Lord, send Lord, send laborers. Yeah, he sent you. Lord, send a laborer. Okay, there you go. Go on. Go on. Get out the house. Get out the house. Stop living in mama's basement. Tell you what, I'm the youth minister, so I get to say things to young people. And you didn't hire me. So I say it whether you like it or not. I tell you what, young people, some of you spiritually still living in mama's basement. Some of you 30-year-olds. Spiritually, you still living in mama's basement. You need to get out the house. I won't say what I'm thinking. I won't say it. I won't say it. I won't say it. Lord, unless you want me to say it. Okay, he doesn't. Okay, you're safe. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where we'll begin. Where we end up, yea, no man knoweth. I don't ever want, I don't ever lack for material to preach. Right now I have about, 210 sermons written. I don't lack for something to preach. I do always desire to preach the right thing. And I have been known to switch sermons in the middle of a service, suddenly and without warning, because one person needed it. So just stay with me. It's all right. And if we don't finish it, well, then your faith wasn't great enough. I'm sorry. Just kidding. Just kidding. I'm just circling because we'll see if God has anything else he wants to say in that regard. Young ministers, those that believe you're called to the ministry, I find myself today in a unique position. I'm not going to talk to you other than here right now. The rest of the sermon is not necessarily for you, but this right here is. I find myself in a unique position to say something to you. Now, I'm not talking to you if you do not feel called to the ministry or if you're questioning it. I'm not talking to either one of you. If you know that you're called to the ministry, I'm talking to you right now. Okay? Some of y'all are doing the ministry equivalent of waiting for your ship to come in. It's called, I'm waiting for my door to open. Come on, though. Come on. Yep, that's exactly the sounds you're making in your spirit, too. I don't mind the children. Let's let them be, man. Yeah. I got two of them. I live through their screaming. I still live through their screaming. We go to Target. Oh, it's embarrassing to hear them scream. Nah, let them do it. They find out they don't get no attention that way. When they figure out they don't get any attention that way, they calm right down. Daddy, can I have a toy? No. Okay. But I tell you what, when they calm right down, you can also say yes. Because you can't say yes to the mess. You can't say yes to the mess. You ought to write that down. Some of that'll help a lot of you. Anyway, I'm still talking to you, young ministers. Some of you is not so young, and that's a problem. The door to ministry, the door to your first phase of ministry will not open because you're waiting for it. It won't. The door to your first phase of ministry will open because you beat it in with the sledgehammer of faith. And some of y'all have been distracted. I'm not being mean. I'm just telling you the truth. I've been distracted. You know, Dr. Dufresne would talk about when you go into ministry, make sure everything's bolted down.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you why right now. Because in order for you to get into that first door, all the faith comes off everything. All the faith comes off everything. Because you have to bring your faith in and forge it into a hammer. And it's a singular focus. It's intense. And it's a not messing around. I'm going through this door, I'm dying. That's what it is. That's what it is. I'm going through this door, I'm dying. We ain't playing games here. If you're a multitasker, I'm sorry. You're going to hate this. If your spouse is a multitasker, let me talk to your spouse just a minute. You need to let your spouse do their focus thing. Yeah. You're the multitasker, so you multitask everything. And you will be thankful that you let your spouse do the focus thing. Because when you careen like a freight train through that door, you're going to be so thankful. So don't be irritated. Don't be irritated. Understand, it's part of the process. But that's why everything goes crazy, is because you had your faith on the car. You pull your faith in off the car to go into the ministry. You had your faith on the kids. You pull your faith in to go on the ministry. You had your faith on the house. You had your faith on this. You had your faith on the job. You had your faith, 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 faith. And it all starts coming off, and then everything starts falling apart. Spouses, you ought to realize what's happening. You ought to ask yourself, where's my faith been? I'm telling you, some of you, and you've been scared to take your faith off of stuff because you see it starting to fall apart. You see the wing nuts starting to fly off the screws. And you're going, oh, brother. Batten it down. You're 40, you ain't got time. It's either go through that door or you ain't going. Now, when you're 20, you got a little bit of time to mess around. That's okay. God will let you do things, gain experience, gain wisdom, gain strength, do all that so he can put it on display later. You're in your 30s, you better start getting serious. Well, but tell you what, you're going to be grunting now, you're going to be grunting later. You can be grunt down, grunt later. You're going to grunt down, grunt now, hold everything down. Or you grunt later under the pain of missing the door. I'm just saying. I'm helping you. Now listen to me. I'm not saying you start abandoning your helps ministry. That would be the devil saying that. That is not what I said. What I said is the only way through that door is if you beat it in with the hammer of faith. And you got to be like Dr. Summerall waiting for his train tickets in Australia. Lord, you bring the tickets. I'm going to stand right here in front of this door, blocking it for everybody that comes in, by the way. And you bring those tickets here or I'm going to die here. And when he said it, he's serious. He wasn't playing games with God. In about half an hour, guess what came? The tickets. Now, I'm not talking to all of you. I'm not talking to you, layperson. I'm not talking to you, confused person. I'm talking to people that know.
Yes, sir.
There's two. Can I tell you the advantage of being a spiritual orphan for a while? Because I was one. The advantage of being a spiritual orphan is that you learn how to do some things without a spiritual dad. And you learn how hard it is without a spiritual dad. But you also learn the process in a way that you would not have learned otherwise. It's good to have the wisdom. It's not good to go through the process. So hear what I'm telling you. And that is, if you want through that door, and you very much do, then you need to get some things settled. You need to get some things settled. Like a boxer going into the championship ring. He's got to settle some things. There's a whole lot of business he can't tend to that last week before the fight.
Yeah. Right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why? Because he's going in to contend.
Yeah.
He's and if he go, I tell you what, if that UFC fighter goes into the octagon and the championship, if he goes in there thinking about his bills, he's gonna get pasted.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
No, he goes in there one thing on his mind. I'm coming out a winner. And that's the stance that you must take.
Amen.
That is the stance that you must take. Now, it's very critical that we help our man of God get through this door.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'll tell you, it would be a good exercise to take your faith and forge it into that hammer and help him beat in his door.
Yes.
And you'll learn a whole lot about how to beat in your door.
Yes.
And you'll do it safely because you'll be under the covering of your dad. You get what I'm saying? So are you listening to me?
Yes.
Are you listening to me? Okay, now we can get into our message now that we've taken, you know, 20 minutes with that. Wish you to listen a little faster. Just kidding. All right, but not. Sorry, not sorry. Hashtag. All right. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Sometimes as the older brother, you get the unique position of, you know, saying something that dad can't. You know, not that he can't say it, just I get to say it in a different way.
Yeah.
1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God, okay, now you're all back into service, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I told you I wasn't talking to you. Now I'm talking to everybody. Just make sure. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you completely. And I pray that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Say this with me. I am a spirit.
I am a spirit.
I have a soul.
I have a soul.
And I live in a body.
I live in a body.
Oh, I can hear all the religious people now. Psalms chapter 84 and verse 2. Psalms 84 and verse 2. Psalms 84, verse 2. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart, or my spirit, and my flesh cry out for the living God. Well, why didn't he start with the spirit? Well, they're in the Old Testament.
Right, right, right.
They didn't have a revelation of that yet.
Right.
So it was all in the soul. Yeah. Say this with me. I am a spirit.
I am a spirit.
I have a soul.
I have a soul.
And I live in a body. We know this, Reb. Oh, I hear all the religious people. I hear you. I ain't religious. Oh, you. We'll see. We'll see before. See, this is why they keep me in the other building. I'm just saying. I'll just give you a few other chapter references. Well, why don't I get the verses? Because I can't do all your studying for you. So I'll give you some other chapter references just on this subject of the threefold nature of man. Romans 7, Ephesians 2, Matthew 22, Mark 12, Luke 10, Deuteronomy 6, Psalms 31, James 2, plus I'll go through a few more today, and many, 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 many more. This is a gigantic subject. And it is one that we do not pay near enough attention to. For instance, faith comes out of your spirit.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Romans chapter 10, faith is of the heart.
Yeah.
You know, love comes out of your spirit. Romans chapter 5, for the love of God have been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. I say Holy Spirit in the main service because I'm nice, but really I don't prefer Holy Spirit. I prefer Holy Ghost. You know why? It's real simple. Because our vernacular, how we talk in our culture, if I say spirit, we get the wrong idea. We get this, oh, they're of such a nice spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? It's sweet and comfortable and doesn't bother anybody.
Right.
But if I say ghost, everybody instantly thinks of a non-corporeal being of supernatural power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably probably inhabiting a haunted hotel of something. Right?
Yeah.
Nobody's confused about what a ghost is.
Right.
Well, the Holy Ghost is a non-corporeal being of supernatural power. That's why I like to say Holy Ghost, because people ain't confused about that. So anyway, that's out of the way. All right. Well, yeah, Rev, but I know all about this. Yeah, I know that my prosperity and my healing come out of my spirit. Oh, you do? Well, then you need to study your Bible. You ever read 3 John 2? May you prosper and be in hell, even as your soul prospers. Well, those don't have, those are, that's about up here. That ain't, yeah, down here, you got to be renewed, or you got to be recreated, I should say. You got to be recreated so that you can access the promises of God. But they don't just flow out of there. That's about up here. Now you receive it by faith in your spirit. I'm just saying. Now see, if you don't know this, if you don't know that there are three parts of man, and you don't know what things affect which part, the devil's just going to keep you going in circles. We have a little dog. We have a little rat terrier dog. I love rat terrier dogs. They're great. Some of the smartest dogs on the planet. Kinda. This little dog, one of her favorite things to do is to chase stuff. Well, out of her peripheral vision, she'll catch her tail. Moving, you know? And so she just... Then she catches it. She finds out she's attached. Oh, I laugh so hard. Anyway, sorry, I know that's cruel. Animal cruelty, I'm sorry, but it's funny. It's really funny. I've been a worship musician for more years than I'm going to mention this morning. And I'll tell you, one music is one place where you get to see the threefold nature of man at work, and you also get to see people messed up because they have no clue what they're doing. I mean, like, really. You know, music involves all three parts. This isn't my subject, but I'm giving it to you as an example. Yeah. Music involves all three parts of a person's being. Yeah. And it doesn't matter whether it's secular music or Christian music. It doesn't matter. Music originates in the spirit of man. Now, there's a statement nobody disagrees with. Isn't that funny? Now, the number of statements that all humanity agrees on is very few. But it's funny, if you say that, basically no one disagrees with you. Yeah. Music originates in the spirit of man. It's processed in the soul. Right. Yeah. And then it's expressed in the body. Yeah. It involves all three parts of your being. Yeah. By the way, if you're involved in worship music, that's why you have to keep your flesh crucified.
Amen. Yes.
Because the music that's coming out of the spirit through your soul shouldn't be expressed through an unholy temple. Just food for thought there. I'm helping you.
Yes, you are.
You know, many people, they gravitate to certain kinds of rhythm, certain chord changes, certain melody lines, because of the effect that it has on them. Yeah. Namely, on their emotions.
Yeah.
Not because those rhythms, those chords, or those melodies are anointed.
Yeah.
And as a result, they listen to music I'm going to just assume that everybody listens to good music. And by good, I mean, you know, Christian, wholesome, that kind of thing. But as a result, you might listen to music that is at best doctrinally deficient, or at worst, theologically poisonous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Life 101.9. Oh, sorry. People will listen to stuff and they will think they are happily in God's presence while they are while their spirit is starving or sick. So let's just take a minute and talk about the threefold nature of man. And not every song on there is bad. But when marketing people get involved, Not all marketing people, in fact, few marketing people are sanctified. Is that the right word? Yeah, that's the right word I'm looking for. Because they're more about, is the song going to make money and not offend people than they are. You know, it's funny, when it comes to Christian music, they're real concerned about who it's going to offend, but when it comes to death metal, they don't care.
Come on now.
When it comes to drill, they don't care. It's only when it comes to Christian music that they start caring about that. Isn't that weird? Odd. And it's the same marketing person. Also weird. Just saying. All right. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. Your spirit comes from God, who's the Father's spirit. And it makes you in God's class of being. Your soul is eternal, like your spirit, and it's attached to your spirit. When you leave this body, your soul and your spirit will go together. Yeah. Your soul contains your mind, which is your intellect, your memory, and your ability to reason. It also contains your will, or your ability to decide on a course of action and carry it through. Your conscience, which is your moral agency or compass, the part of you that knows right and wrong. And your emotions. Yeah, them things too. When you're born again, your spirit's recreated, and your spirit is in its final eternal condition. Yeah. Rev, we know all this. No. I know.
Come on. Come on.
But just stay with me.
Yes. Come on.
Just stay with me.
Keep going.
Because this subject is terminally undertaught.
Come on.
Not all the time, but there are Thursday nights that, with the worship team especially, we go through this.
Yeah.
And we really break it down.
Yeah.
Why? Because they need to know when a certain beat happens, is it your flesh that's getting excited? Is it your soul that's getting interested? Or is it anointed by the Spirit? Right? Now, those recordings aren't for sale. In fact, they don't even exist. Despite the fact that Leanna's tried to bribe me many times.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Your spirit's recreated in its final eternal condition. We all know this, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man, if he is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Now, if you're new here, if you're a young believer, you don't feel like that's true. Because the same thing that you messed up with yesterday, same thing you messed up with last Saturday, same thing you messed up with Wednesday before, and you don't feel like anything's been made new. Well, just keep coming. Miss Ann's not here this morning, so I'll just say it for her. Just keep coming. Because it's not about how you feel, it's about what God did. It's a spiritual fact. It's a spiritual fact. And your generation has taught you that the truth is what you feel. And that is the biggest lie that has been sold. It is a huge lie. Man, I could sell so many bridges with the people that believe that lie. Wonder why I haven't gone into a bridge selling business anyway. But it's true nonetheless. When you're born again, your soul didn't immediately change. And that's obvious. But your conscience started to receive guidance from a recreated spirit. And so suddenly there's things that you never thought was wrong, because how you felt was right. Your truth was how you felt. But now that's not true anymore, because you got born again. Yeah, all you on camera. I didn't forget about you. Anyway, You now have a guide in your conscience, and it's receiving its instructions. Your moral compass has gotten recalibrated. And your spirit's now saying, that's wrong. Don't do that. That's bad. You should be sorry. Right? And it's quiet. It's quiet, because that's how it is. And so we have to do something with our mind. We know that from Romans 12, 2, that we're not to be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we can prove what is the will of God. And if you get real skilled at it, you can prove the different levels of the will of God. When you're born again, unless there's a manifestation of the Spirit that accompanied your conversion, your body didn't change. Now, I have put that caveat in there. Because there are people that when they get born again, they get up out of wheelchairs. They got limbs grow out. They have all kinds of things that are amazing happen. Because they just receive the whole role. They receive the full salvation. You see? But unless you have one of those things happen, your body didn't change. If you had brown hair or, you know, no hair, then you still have brown hair or no hair. Right? But because your body is part of this creation, which is held under the curse of sin, that residue of the sin nature still will remain in your body. In other words, you know, they say the heart wants what it wants. Well, that's a lie. It should be the body wants what it wants, right? And so God commands us to crucify our body. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27. Paul said, "But I keep my body under and I bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." You know, I think it's just a side note here. Paul's body is clearly not his real man. Because otherwise he would have said, "I keep myself under." You know, if you just listen to people talk, you can discern a whole lot. I mean, like a whole lot. You know, you can find out if somebody is a carnal or a fleshly Christian real fast. Because if they say, "I keep myself under," and they do, well, now you immediately know, oh, you're yielding to your flesh. Right? Because your flesh is not you. That's why Paul said, "I keep my body." The real man is my spirit. Right? So let's just go a little bit further here. I'm not going to go super far because I don't have time. But for right now, it's important to know this, that your conscience is the deepest part of your soul. And it's the diplomat between your spirit and your mind and your soul. He's the one that takes the communication back and forth there. That's why it's so important. You know, it talks about in 1 Timothy 4 to having a conscience seared. That's why it's so important to maintain a tender conscience, because your accuracy in the spirit depends upon your conscience being tender. Paul said in Romans chapter 9 and verse 1, "I testify the truth, my conscience bearing me witness that I am not lying." Well, why is that valid? Because his conscience is the thing that's communicating from the Spirit, who you have an unction from the Holy One. You know all things. You have no need that any man teach you the truth, but the anointing will teach you. Any of this sounding kind of, you know, vaguely familiar? Anyway, so it's that truth is resident, known in the Spirit. And the conscience conveys that to the soul. Does that make sense? I think I'm freaking the camera people out. The lights are just like... I know. They keep me in the other building. Don't tell them I'm going to start messing with them because I can see the lights doing the thing. No. My wife's telling me, no, don't do it. All right. She travailed for you this morning, obviously. Now, your emotions. When we talked about the conscience as the diplomat from the spirit to the soul. Right. Your emotions are the diplomat from the body to the soul. Now, for instance, when you hit your thumb with a hammer, there's a chemical reaction that takes place in your physiological brain. And depending on your nature and your upbringing, that reaction happens a little differently for everybody. But it basically falls into two general categories. Woe is this hammer, or woe is me. Right? It's either anger or pity. And what you're thinking on, just that quick changed. Now the soul, though, now this is a little different because many times, I'm not going to say there's not exceptions, because I'm not going to sit here and be so arrogant to say I know it all. So I'm sure there are exceptions. But I will say many times the communication from the spirit to the soul is one way. Not totally, but in many cases. Because you can't actually put things into your spirit. That's why he says guard your spirit. Right? But there's a lot more of the time it's a one way coming up out. Well, the emotions not quite so much. There's a lot of back and forth. Now, for instance, I'll give you another example. Another example would be, and this would, you know, the first one I said you hit your thumb with a hammer and your emotions influence your soul, right? Well, it can go the other way. Because in times of grief, when we lose someone, well, there's a chemical reaction happens in your brain organ. Well, why are you breaking it down like that? Because it happens. And if you don't know this, you'll be messed up. A lot of people messed up because they don't know this. Just saying. Anyway, there's a chemical reaction that happens, and the result is sadness and depression. Now, we all as humans know that's bad. I am in a church, aren't I? Okay, that's bad.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Otherwise, they wouldn't have a multi-billion-dollar industry selling pills to get rid of it.
Come on, seriously.
Anyway, sorry, don't you holy hush on me. Come on, man. What happens then, we all know that's bad, and so then we come alongside the person that's in grief, and we say, remember the good times. And we start talking about it, and we start thinking about it, and then we start laughing over the dumb things that people do, and that we did with them. Right?
Yeah.
And then what happens to our body? The emotions in our body change.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because as we started thinking on something within the soul, the effect on the body changed. And now we're joyful. It might be bittersweet, but we're joyful. We don't feel heavy. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, I'm not going to go into this. This ain't my subject. But it's important to understand that this interaction is happening. It's happening all the time. That's why it's so critical. Crucify your flesh.
Yes.
So that you're not being ruled by what it's trying to do and say.
Yes, that's so good. That's so good.
You know, you will never beat fear. You'll never beat fear until you defy it. And until you recognize fear is produced in your flesh out of self-preservation. And until you defy that thing, you won't beat it.
Yeah.
And the more you yield to it, the greater it becomes.
Come on.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
We will never be the church that God intends for us to be, especially in this city, until we rise up and begin defying fear.
Yeah.
I'm scared to step out. Stop that. Just stop that. Can you do all things in Christ or not?
Come on.
Well, yeah, I can. Well, then act like it.
That's right.
And you know, it doesn't start with, I'm going to go to the bank and pitch a business idea.
Come on.
Not where it starts.
Thank you.
That's right.
I tell the teenagers, it starts with selling a candle.
Yeah.
I don't like talking to people. Go sell a candle.
Go sell. Amen.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You notice all the adults can amen real good when we start talking about the teenagers? I start talking about the adults. Oh, God. Paul summed it up like this, Ephesians 4, 21 through 24. Here's Paul summing it up. If it so be that you have heard him, Christ, and you've been taught by him, and the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former lifestyle the old nature, or the old man, which is corrupt and deceitful in its lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and then put on the new man, which is after God, created in righteousness and holiness. Crucify the flesh, renew the mind, and live out of your spirit.
Amen.
Simple. And now we've burned 30 minutes on our introduction. All right. It's not my desire to camp here, but it is important to know the gravity of our subject, which is why I took so much time with it. Because in profound ways, this very mundane topic really affects our life.
Oh, yeah. Right.
It's huge. Which part of our being most heavily influences our decisions determines if we are spiritual, mental, or carnal, which is fleshy.
Yeah. Yeah.
What part of you is influencing your decision? This is a minute-by-minute question. I mean, it really is. Like sitting here right now, how you think about what I'm saying. What part of you is determining the decision about how you feel about what I'm saying?
Yeah. Come on.
That's good.
That's so good.
Come on, it's good.
Now, if you answer that question honestly, it'll help you a lot.
Yeah.
See, most people, they sit in church and they don't understand why they're offended or hurt or upset or mad about what the pastor or the minister or whoever is saying, the announcement giver.
Right. Yeah. That's so good.
People wouldn't get offended at the announcement. Oh, brother, people do. Right?
Yeah.
Because they're listening through different parts of their being.
That's good.
I didn't say body, I said being.
Yeah.
If they're listening through their spirit, then they're receiving what God has to say, receiving it with joy and gladness. If they're receiving it with their mind, they're analyzing every word. Oh, why'd they say this? And who'd they say that about? Oh, I know the situation that was. Right? And if they're listening to it with their flesh, they're like, why can't they just leave me alone? What do you mean, man, help ministry? I'm hearing. Walk in love. Right? But see, it's all about what part of your being are you listening with?
Yeah, that's so
what part? What part? These things are also not like super clear cut. I would love to tell you. Like, bam, straight black line. This is easy to follow. On this side, you're spiritual. On this side, you're not. It's really more like this. You know? And that's why when we start talking about having two parts of your three-part being agree,
yes.
That's why the renewing of the mind is so important, is because if we can renew the mind and get it to side in over here with the spirit, does that make sense?
Yes.
Then the body doesn't have as loud of a voice.
Yeah.
And now the line gets way more clear cut.
Yeah.
The other thing is, especially between the spirit and the soul, the dividing line there is so blurry. So blurry. In fact, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 tells us that the word of God is powerful and it's sharper than an actual two-edged sword. It pierces and divides asunder the soul and the spirit. And it's the only thing that can. You will forever be confused about God's will and God's plan until you begin to get in the Word and change your pattern of thinking to God's pattern of thinking. And then it will become clear what is your soul and what is your spirit. 1 Peter, again, not super my subject, but, you know, we'll see where the Lord takes us. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3. Is this helping you? Remember I said in the offering, but this is totally true, that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth leaks. It's Matthew 12. If you really want to start understanding how this three-part being works and how to work with how God made you, start listening to what you say when you're not paying attention. You know, there's a reason that the Apostle James said in chapter 3 of his book, which you better read, because when you go to heaven, he's going to be one of those, did you read my book, right? Well, I really liked Peter. Right? And I read Paul because, you know, he wrote so much. Right? And, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, you guys wrote the gospel, so. Gotcha. Right? No, James is going to be like, did you read my book? Just like Jude. Jude's got one, he's just got like a one pager. So Philemon, also one pager. So, you know, did you read him? Anyway, so, but James says in chapter 3, you can tame the tongue. You're a perfect man. Now, perfect in other parts of the scripture means mature, complete, not lacking. It doesn't mean actually perfect. Well, that one does. That one actually means without fault. That if you can tame your tongue, you'll be without fault. Isn't that interesting? And then James also talks about in that chapter that the tongue is the smallest member of the body. So if you can crucify that. So many people's trying to crucify some other big part of their body. Well, why don't you just push all that aside. Let's get down to the little one. You take care of the little one? Take care of the little one, you'll be out ahead. Right? Anyway, you'll start to find out how much you are ruled by different parts of your being if you just listen to. Now, listen, I'm doing a home renovation. I'll tell you what, you find out a lot of things about yourself. You start tearing your house apart. I'm not saying it's pretty. I'm just saying I'm doing it. Right? You find out a lot. And one of the things that you find out is, well, number one, you talk to yourself way more than you really thought. You might talk to yourself more than's really healthy. But you also start to find out, am I really in faith? Because you start talking along, you're trying to reason something out, figure out a plan. How am I going to do this? What are we going to do? What's this? And you start reasoning it out. And before you know it, you've had a whole like 15-minute conversation with yourself, and you haven't talked about what God's going to do once.
Come on now. Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Come on.
Now, see, I'm saying you, because if I said me, that would be a lot more painful. And I don't know if I'm ready to admit that yet. So I'm going to say you, because not like you, but like, you know, they and we and them, all them people. Right? So, but you start to find out, I just had this whole conversation with myself. I didn't have faith once. And then you realize, hey, there was a lot of complaining in that 15 minutes. That wasn't even like reasoning, trying to figure out the problem. That was just me being grumpy. Man, my flesh is kind of in charge today. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, 1 Peter, back to... All right, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Don't let your ornament be those of a body, such as dressing the hair or putting on of jewels or gold or fair clothing, but let those be of the unseen man of the heart, the ornaments of your life. Let them be of the unseen man of the heart, the ever-shining ornament of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of a great price in the eyes of God. Or I like what the Weymouth says. Instead, let it be of the new nature within. That imperishable, where'd it go? It left. Imperishable ornament of a gentle and quiet spirit. An imperishable ornament. Isn't that amazing? It's the new creation within. We are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. You'll never be led of the Spirit until you understand this truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so good.
Come on.
You know, I came across something several years ago. Very interesting. I decided I was going to take all of Dad Hagin's stories in all of his books, and I was going to try to write them out chronologically as best I could. In retrospect, this was a huge project that I had no time to do. But if I only got like as far as I got, it was worth it for this, right? This like one or two nuggets that I really got out of it. Because when he tells all these stories and all these different audios and when he tells them in all these different books and so on, you get a little bit different of a story each time he tells it. And so you start putting like three and four of those together, and now you got the whole picture. Or at least a more complete picture, right? Everybody says his great revelation was faith. I'm not going to disagree with you, but that was not his first revelation. His first revelation was how to be led by the Spirit. Because he said, I was laying on the bed of affliction. And there was a still small voice that told me. My answer was in Mark chapter 11. And because my body was quiet, it was paralyzed. He was forced to be quiet. And because my mind was quiet, because nothing else to do, he could discern the voice of his Spirit. And he actually said if he'd have figured out what was happening, he would have stayed on the bed of sickness 16 months less. What's that say to us? All the rest, let me put this in perspective. All the rest of what Dad Hagin taught came from that seat of being led by the Spirit. There is no greater revelation. There is no greater skill. There is no greater thing in our Christian walk than that. I actually used to feel bad that I talked about this so much. And then one day Pastor Debbie goes, hey, if you're pastoring and all you do is you preach about renewing the mind and being led of the Spirit, you're doing good. And I was like, whoo, I've been liberated. You'll never be led of the Spirit with skill until you understand the threefold nature of man. And you don't have to understand it with your head. You just have to have a revelation in your spirit of it. And revelation's always far bigger than what you can think out anyway. So if you have a revelation of it on the inside, then you can start walking it out. This hidden man of the heart is the real you. This hidden man of the heart is the man that we should live our life from. You know the hidden man of the heart's never going to mistreat people. Do you know the hidden man of the heart practices self-care? Healthy self-care. Do you know that? Do you know the answer to all your workplace woes the hidden man of the heart has? Do you know the answer to how to work with your teenage daughter the hidden man of the heart has? It's a promise I'm claiming. Anyway. Right? All of that, all the issues of life spring. All the answers, I should say it this way, in the modern way we talk, all the answers to the issues of life spring out of here. They spring out of our human spirit. So it is worth the time to learn how to do this well. It's the hidden man of the heart, the human spirit that receives the new nature. And it's the human spirit that both houses and contacts the Holy Spirit that continually imparts to you the life of God. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 3. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be an epistle or a letter of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tables of stone, but on the table of your spirit. And such trust that we have through Christ Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. What Spirit is he talking about? The same Spirit of the living God that is writing upon the table of your human spirit. You know, we don't have to wait to experience new life. No, we don't. No, we wait till we get to heaven to experience a new body. But the new life is available right now. All right. Par for the course, 15 minutes to close. We finally get to the point. John chapter 17. Parents, there are two scriptures that my great desire is before your teenager graduates from youth. I only get them like 5 or 6 years. But there's two scriptures that my great desire is that their Bible just falls open to. One of them is Mark 11, 23. The other one is John chapter 17, verse 20. There is so much contained in these three verses that if you did nothing but camp on them for the rest of your life, it would not be wasted. This is Jesus' great prayer before he goes to the cross. And I'm just going to take a few verses out of here. John chapter 17, verse 20. I don't just pray for these alone, these disciples here, but I also pray for those which will believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. Underline that. One. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one. Underline that. In us. That the world may believe that you have sent me, and the glory which you have given me, I give them. You should highlight that, circle that, star that. That they may be one. Underline it. Even as we are one. Underline that one. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfect in one. Underline that one. That the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved me, or hast loved them, even as you have loved me. God loves you just as much as he loves Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus said so.
Yes. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Do you know that's not the biggest revelation in them three verses? That God loves you just as much as he loves Jesus? That ain't the biggest revelation. The new birth changed you in ways so profound that your soul rejects the truth of it. If you didn't intentionally begin to renew it, your mind would reject the truth of the new birth. Do you know why? You're one with God.
Amen.
You're not beside him. You're not behind him. You're not his friend. You're not his servant. You one with him.
Amen.
Oh, you didn't get it. You didn't get it. Well, yeah, I know I'm in Christ. No, you don't. You just think that Christ is in you. You haven't started on an I'm in Christ yet.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
You are God. That's not blasphemy. You know why? He just said it.
Yes.
That you may be one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even as the Father and the Son are one.
Amen. Glory to God.
Oh, you ain't got it yet. That's okay. We're all getting it. We are all getting it. Or 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. One. You know, wherever you go, God goes. He can't help it. Do you know why? Because you're one. When you walk on the scene, God just walked on the scene. Do you know why public school is hell for your children? Because God just walked into hell.
Come on.
And do you know what they did with Jesus when Jesus walked into hell? They did everything they could to spit him back out. That's why public school is hell for your children. Because they are light walking into pitch darkness. Well, they need to learn how to do that. Not when they 10. Not when they 10. You're asking for a personality formed by rejection. You're asking for it. Now, if you're led, you do what you're led to do. I'm not, every parent got to do that. You do what's right before God. But I'm just telling you, you hear them coming home and crying. I'm telling you why they're crying. You're wondering why you're getting the results you're getting. Because they're spending 8 hours in hell and 4 hours with you. Well, they're home. They're sleeping 8 of that.
Yeah.
8 of that 12, they sleeping. Just telling you. You do your own math. That's what I had to do. When I started doing the math, I go, I don't have to be spiritual to make this decision. That's got to be wise. Just saying. The Holy Ghost does the uniting between the Lord and your human spirit. He's the connector. He's the connector. You know, we fellowship with God in the spirit because he is a spirit. He's connected to our spirit. So we need to understand, how do we make this voice, how do we make this leading clear? Right? Because none of us want to be lost. Who just loves being confused? Right? Nobody loves being confused. In fact, I could take any four of you and I could put y'all in a car on a road trip with specific drivers. And I can prove that nobody likes being confused. Because we get 10 miles down the road and there are going to be four people going, you need to ask for direction. You sure you know where you're going?
Come on.
What highway are you on?
Yeah. Come on. Seriously.
Just stop and ask for some direction. You're going the wrong way. You don't even know where we're going. But I know we're going the wrong way. Anyway, nobody likes being confused. Nobody loves that. You don't have to walk around in a fog in life. You can know clearly your purpose, your direction for each and every day. You are important. You are crucial. You are strategic. You should act like it, and you should know what to do about it. And the way you know that is by being led of the Spirit. This threefold nature of man. Guess what? You don't have a choice. You have to work with it because it's how God made you.
Yes.
You ignore it at your peril. You ignore it at your peril. You ignore it at your peril. I'm just going to ignore my flesh. You better not. You better not. Now you need to pay attention by the Spirit. Renew your mind to the Word. What does the Word say about your flesh? Because you know, without your flesh, you can't contact this body, this world.
That's right.
Without your body, you ain't going to win anybody to Jesus. Without your body, you're not going to lay hands on anybody. Because it's kind of attached. And you, most of us would like it to stay that way. Right? See, your body participates in the work of God too. It's just, it needs to be kept in its place. Your mind, did you know that God doesn't want you to lose your mind and become a fool? There's people think that. I'm just going to only be led by the Spirit. Did you know that God tells you to apply wisdom? God tells you to apply wisdom. It's amazing though, I got to just side note. It's amazing how often fear masquerades as wisdom. Especially when insurance companies are involved. Yeah, I went and said it. Fear is not wisdom. I'll say it again. Fear is not wisdom. Fear is to be defied, just like lust. Doesn't mean we're dumb. You know what I mean? But God doesn't want you to lose your mind. He, did you know the way that you think is a very valuable thing when it's renewed with the Word of God? Because the way that you think through a problem is specific to you. And you get three or four of us together and we're in unity of the Spirit, you'll catch something somebody else misses. You'll bring something to the party that somebody else didn't bring. That's why you're important. You're strategic. You're valued. You're needed. But this training piece, this renewing the mind piece, this is also needed. You know, our connection with God, I've been saying it, is in our spirit. And many people will say, well, I know that. Well, then why don't you yield to it? I'll tell you why. It's because you're mentally assenting to the knowledge of the threefold nature of man. You're not living by the revelation. Why do we confine God to a devotional time but allow the cares of this world to run rampant in our life? Why do we say sad but true, or it is what it is when the circumstances around us are happening, rather than raising up like righteous lions and exercising the right for the power of God to come into manifestation? Because you're one with God. You have a right for God's power to come into manifestation. Oh, man. Why do we accept defeat, depression, fear, and weakness in our decision making? We accept it. We have what we allow. We allow it in. Why? Because we're not really yielding to the revelation of my connection with God Himself through my spirit. Why do we live our lives like everyone else on the block when we're one with the one that's made us kings and priests? And, you know, we are not only going to rule angels in cities in the world to come, but we have the privilege to exercise His authority now. Yes. We are the body of Christ. We are Christ in the earth. What president, what Congress, what tyrant, what army is going to stand against the living God and His people? Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and upon this rock He built His church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against our assault. But the devil can keep us from assaulting. The opportunity that we had to yield to the Spirit in worship this morning was more important than many of us gave it credit for. This is the safe harbor. This is the dojo where we train ourselves to yield to the Spirit. Why? Because out there is the actual battle. I'm not just interested in a move of the Spirit that stays within the four walls of the church. I'm really not. Because that becomes a performance very quickly. Because God's not interested in a move of the Spirit that just stays within the four walls of the church. He's not even really interested in one church staying put for very long. We're all witnessing it. He wants a church to give birth. Because he's about life and multiplication. The move of the Spirit should really happen outside these walls. And what happens in this auditorium is just a continuation of what's already going on. The wave goes out. The wave comes back. The wave goes out. The wave comes back. Well, it's all about what the Spirit wills. Well, the Spirit wills way more than you want Him to. Do you know, Jesus only said, "If it be your will," in a matter of consecration. When it came to healing and helping and liberating people from the oppression of the devil, He willed. He willed. He willed. And it was according to their faith. You know what that tells me? The move of the Spirit is a lot more according to our faith than we're comfortable with. You're one with God. Why not yield to Him? If He tells you to run in here, oh yeah, somebody just got it. Yeah, He might tell you to lay hands on somebody in Walmart.
Absolutely.
Now, don't freak out about that. That's fear. You got to crucify that. How do you crucify that? Well, you do it in here. You know, when the joy move rolls through? Ha, ha, ha. Some of you got real nervous all of a sudden. I don't know why. It's your strength. But you know when that rolls through? Well, what if I look foolish? What if you do? Did you yield to God on the inside? Well, as a matter of fact, I did. Well, then you did what you're supposed to do as a believer. You lived the supernatural life. Now do it out there. Oh, my goodness, I didn't get as far as we needed to get. But here's the point. Learn about your nature. There's so much to the threefold nature of man. And as we renew our mind with the Word, it becomes very clear how to yield to the Spirit of God. And it also becomes very clear what His leadings are. And then it's just a matter of crucifying the flesh so that you do them.
Yeah.
Well, what's after that, Reb? Well, the greater works. Because if you're at that point, then you're doing what you see your Father do.
Right.
And you're saying what you hear your Father say. Well, that makes you like somebody else I know.
Yeah.
Who could that be? Maybe it's the reason that we're called Christians. And then it's not just about getting your needs met. It's about let's meet the needs of a hurting and helpless humanity. And the hose that waters gets wet. But it comes back to crucify the flesh. Renew the mind, live out of the Spirit. Well, what about pastor's ministry? Oh, I'm pretty sure pastor wouldn't be upset if we, you know, healed the sick and raised the dead during the week. It's weird, but I think he'd be okay with that. I also think it'd be a lot easier for him to function in all the equipment that he functions in with a whole bunch of righteous, bold as lion believers who form a prayer covering and a faith shield about it, right? And who are bringing in the huddled masses that need healing and help and cry. You haven't seen a healing line until you get people that actually need healing in here. I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you. Oh, by the way, you know, in case you didn't put it together, I'm closing. Trust me. Well, in case you never put it together, Pastor had talked about all the medical equipment in the back. He did put that together with moving to a new building. So, you know, Rob and I have been talking. We got a plan. We're going to bring some sick people in here because we want into a new building. Maintenance team wants a new building. So start bringing the people in. You get what I'm saying? Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Are you listening? Do you have ears to hear this morning? Anyway, Father God, we just thank you. We thank you, Father God, that you're so merciful and kind to us. Oh, Father, we just give you honor and praise. Father, thank you for being our Father. Thank you for connecting us with you. Thank you for making us one with you and our Savior. Father God, we just repent for where we've missed it. We repent of our arrogance to think we've known it all. Father God, we just accept the humble revelation that you give to us. Father God, we just thank you for all that you have done, all that you are doing, all that you are going to continue to do in each of us individually, but also as the body of believers that you have assembled here to do a great work. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. Father God, I thank you that the word that was sown this morning was sown in good soil, and it was sown in good hearts, and that it will grow mightily and prevail as an incorruptible seed growing into an incorruptible tree, and that it will push out all the schemes of the enemy that have been that he has attempted to plant in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.